Hey, I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. While all the tenants are cheering about the renters' rights bill like it's some great victory, behind the scenes, we're on the verge of one of the biggest crises in the rental market in decades. And on this week's show, we're going to be talking about the unintended consequences of the renters' rights bill. So, there's been lots of changes. We actually talked about this last week on the show. We went through step by step by step all the changes.
Yep.
Probably the biggest change, certainly that's getting all the headlines, is the scrapping of the Section 21 eviction notice.
Yep.
So briefly, let's just quickly discuss what that is and then why I think this is going to have some massive consequences on the rental market. So Section 21 is the no-fault eviction.
Yep.
Which means that if you're a tenant staying in my property, and we've been tenants, by the way. Yeah,
you can basically just, for no reason, if you want your tenant out, you serve them a Section 21 and they have to get out within 3 months.
Or whatever
it is. 3 months?
I can't even remember the time
scale.
3 or 4 months.
But
it's not long, actually.
No, I think it is. From what I remember it happening to us, I'm sure it's 3 months.
Yeah, I think it is 3 months.
But there doesn't have to be a reason, basically. If they don't fancy you being the tenant anymore, they can just get rid of you with Section 21.
Exactly. And what they're saying is that's not fair on tenants to have no reason. You know, it's their home. It's not fair. So you need a reason. And therefore, we're going to be using a Section 8, which, by the way, does exist at the moment. You can use a Section 8. Now, the reason that landlords don't use Section 8 agreements is because now you've got to prove fault.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, they're behind, this is a big thing we talked about last week, they're behind on their rental payments. You know, they're 2 months behind or 3 months behind. Therefore, I'm going to take them to court to show that they're behind. But then tenants are doing things like paying a bit of the rent. So now they're no longer over the threshold behind. Or, you know, or let's say they're an antisocial tenant. Under a Section 21, you can just go, no, you're being a pain, Section 21.
Yeah.
Now,
you've got to prove it. Especially if it's like that kind of middle ground where it's not quite criminal antisocial behaviour, but it's just
subjective.
Yeah, and they just annoy everyone and like,
so then you've got to go and get quotes from the neighbours.
Yeah.
You've got to take them to court. So it's a real pain in the ass. Also, just going to court, even if you didn't have to win in court, that take that part aside, obviously you've got to win, you've got to prove it. Just the length of the process of going to the court system, it can take, you know, 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, this whole time you've got a tenant in who's maybe not paying.
Yep.
And it's a nightmare. So what landlords do is they literally just go, Section 21, it's really easy. I haven't got to prove it. I haven't got to go to court. Just serve it.
So when you first look at this, it looks like it's a massive like win for tenants and a massive loss for the landlords, doesn't it? It just looks like, oh dear.
It does.
This is really crappy.
It's one of those rules. It's one of those rules that in theory, I quite like it.
Yeah.
Like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm pretty happy with the Section 8 reasons.
Yeah, I agree. Because basically, if it is a bad tenant,
or if you want to move back in, or if you want to sell it, or yeah, there's pretty much all the reasons I could kind of think of, you can get them out under a Section 8.
It is just the hassle of going to court that I don't like, because we know the court system's here. It's going to take months and months and months, lots of time, lots of effort. That's the bit I actually don't like, rather than the actual rules.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with the rules. I do agree that you probably shouldn't just be able to, on a whim, think, oh, they said one thing that annoyed me, right? That 21, out you go.
Yeah.
I think that's fair enough. It's just the court times, the hassle. That's the neg, I think.
However, there's actually a massive negative for tenants.
Yeah.
That's going to come. Now, it won't be immediate, but there's a massive benefit for landlords and a massive negative for tenants that's going to come out of this. So, and here's what it is. At the moment, if you've got a sucky tenant who just refuses to pay or who damages your property or whatever it is, what do you do? You serve them a Section 21. Yep. No fault eviction. And then they go and rent somewhere else.
And do the same there.
And do the same again. What's going to happen now is they're going to be served a Section 8. And they're going to prove fault.
Yeah.
And they're going to get evicted for a fault eviction. So now when you do your referencing and you go and check in with their previous landlord or they tell you where it was, it's going to come out as part of the referencing process that they were a fault eviction, because, and you'll even know the reason. They damaged the property. They didn't pay. They were continually behind on their rent. And you're just going to go, no thanks. Now, at the moment, it's kind of swept under the rug. It's a little bit like having, you know, those companies that never fire anyone, they just make people redundant.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yeah, you got made redundant. Oh, fair enough. But no, you were fired.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, no, we don't want to employ you because you obviously did something because you were actually fired. Yeah.
So what's actually going to happen is if you're a good tenant, you're going to find it really easy to find rent because everyone's going to want to rent you.
And if you're a bad tenant.
So it's actually this whole discrimination thing. It's a good thing, by the way. It's not fair right now that landlords don't know that the tenant is a bad tenant.
Yeah.
And it's crazy how you get your credit rating affected for not paying your mortgage, but nothing is nothing in the same way if you're not paying your rent.
Oh, no, yeah. You could just... You can
miss payments, you can be behind, you can be a rock pain in the ass.
And then go start that whole rigmarole at the next place.
Yeah. Now, if you go to court, now, under the new system, you're going to go to court, you're going to lose.
It's going
to
be on your record.
Yeah. Now, the landlord might never get the money back. They might make you pay £5 a month or whatever, but it will be on your records that you were a non-payer.
So then you're really going to struggle, aren't you? Like, I'm sorry, but if I saw on your record, didn't pay rent, who in their right mind is going to rent to them? You're kind of a bit screwed, aren't you?
You are.
Like, what landlord's going to go, oh, there's the candidate for me? And considering we've got a housing crisis anyway, so there's loads and loads of people looking for houses, really, this is going to affect the tenants that slip up on payments.
That are antisocial.
They're going to struggle to rent.
They are. It's going to really hit them. So actually, I was thinking about it because I was going through this and a lot of people are kicking up a big fuss. And I'm like, actually, the renters' rights bill isn't that bad.
Yeah.
Really. Like, some of it's going to be a bit of a pain and you are going to have to run it more like a business. It's going to be less easy just to have a job, have one or two houses because you've got to go on the register properly. You've got to set it all up like a business. But actually, it's not that too bad. So I think this is going to really backfire on bad tenants.
Yeah. Who will be the ones that were cheering for it. We want more flexibility on not paying rent. We want 3 months, not 2 months to get away with not paying rent. But it's like, you're the ones that are going to struggle ever renting again when you get kicked out.
Yeah.
That is crazy, isn't it?
So that's the first thing. Here's the second problem. And this is how the whole renters' rights bill has been marketed. The fact it's being called renters' rights. The whole narrative, what everyone's saying is that landlords are the victims here. This is the narrative, right? It's all for the tenants. Landlords are the victims. So what's happening is small landlords that are getting spooked. And they're like thinking, oh, 3 months, they can be behind their rents. Oh, no, this is a disaster. It's already bad. Oh, no. Right. And landlords are selling up.
Yeah.
And we know this is happening. So this is being widely reported. Small landlords are selling up. One thing that I found really interesting is that 78% of viewers of this channel aren't actually subscribers. So if you want to make sure that you don't miss any new episodes or any new property news, please do like and subscribe. It also really helps our channel grow. Really appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Back to the show. Larger landlords are buying those properties.
Yeah, of course. Right?
So, but not at the same scale. We are losing landlords overall. So the big companies, you know, we talk a lot about Lloyds, BlackRock, but also just portfolio landlords. So big landlords that own 20, 30, 40 houses, they're buying more. The landlords that own one, two houses, they're selling up.
Yeah.
Right? So
they don't want the hassle.
It's all doom and gloom. They think it's all for the tenants. The big companies, they kind of get this and they're like, this is actually not too bad. If you're running it as a business, this whole renters' rights bill is not actually a problem. But what's happening is landlords are selling up, which means we've got less buy-to-let properties right now on the market. Now, anyone that knows anything about business knows that if there's less supply and the demand has stayed the same or going up as our population's ever growing, well, then prices are going to go up.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's nothing that's going to stop that.
No.
It's just like, that is the way it is. And it's all right saying, it, you know, this is all for, you know, the renters, you know, we're helping them. But in the, they're actually not helping them, I don't think.
Well, they're not helping them at all because...
Like, it sounds all good on paper yeah. and they're all cheering and, yeah, we're like... And actually all that's happened is some, like, little landlords, again, budged out the market, but the rents are going up. The big corporations are getting hold of a lot more property, which in itself, the rents will go up when all the big corporations own the houses.
It will, because how do they... Do you know they talk about... Right, this is another interesting thing. So you can only raise your rents in line with market rent.
Yeah, right? But if all the top dogs do it...
If all the big companies have got a monopoly over all the houses and they just all put their prices yeah. up, that is the new market
yeah.
rent.
And it's like, oh, wow, it went up by £1,000 this year. Yeah, but it's what they all did. It's just like when the petrol all went up. It works the same with petrol. Remember when it had that massive peak and everyone was like trying to say, no, this isn't fair? But of course, it wasn't just like if Shell had just done that, it wouldn't have worked. Everyone would have just boycotted going to Shell. But they all just did it. And it was like, oh, this is just what petrol is now.
Yeah, I saw an interesting thing actually talking about petrol stations. Do you know, like, an individual petrol station, do you know how much money they make per litre that they sell? So let's say it's like 140 or whatever it is a litre at the moment. Do you know how much money they actually make that individual petrol station?
Off that 1 litre?
Off that 1 litre. Profit.
I reckon it's next to nothing.
Yeah, it's like a couple of pence.
A couple, wow.
Yeah, so they I think they make about 10p a litre on average. But then a lot of that 10p gets swallowed up in like running costs. Like they've got obviously got staff and they've got the building and everything. The vast majority of it goes to either the big oil companies, but they don't even make as much as guess who? Guess who makes the most money out of it? So the big oil company makes a lot. The government, taxes.
Oh, of course. I thought it was going to, the way you worded that, I thought it was like, I don't know, it's so big, like, guess who it is?
It's the Rockefellers. No, it's the government.
Yeah, I thought, oh, yeah. It's Elon Musk. Or I thought you were going to say, like, someone just sat at the top of it. But of course, I should have known.
So the petrol station doesn't make hardly any money. So we go, oh, we're moaning about the prices. It's the government that are taking it all, of course. Obviously Shell and whatnot make a load of money out of it as well. But yeah, so big corporations are going to buy in. There'll be less control. And think of all these changes. All these companies are buying in. If these changes were so terrible, if it was so difficult to be a landlord, it isn't. It isn't so terrible, so difficult. It's just you've got to run it like a business now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
You've got to be on the register. You've got to go on and apply. You've got to put all your properties on. You've got to make sure your gas safety certificate's correct. The changes are not bad. You've just got to be professional.
Do you know who I think are not going to fancy it anymore? Do you know the, like, a couple, they've bought a house, they then think, oh, we need a bigger house because we've now got a family. Or, actually, we're in quite a good position. Instead of
selling,
we'll rent. They won't bother anymore, will they? I doubt. I think they will be like, yeah, we will just sell and just move to, because we've always said to people, no, if you can, amazing, rent out that.
And then buy another one and you've got two. Yeah.
But I think it's those kind of people that just make a little bit of money on the side that can't be bothered with all this. It's those kind of people that I think will lose from being landlords.
So here's what I predict. Rental prices are going to go up.
Yeah.
And the people that are struggling the most, the poorest landlords, the tenants, sorry, the ones who maybe can't afford to pay every month.
Yeah.
They're actually going to get
penalized. Which it looked like this rights bill was for them, the renters' rights, but like it sounded like that was the people it was helping.
Yeah. And I think part of the reason it's spook landlords is literally the way it's marketed. If you actually go through and read it, all the press are talking about it as if it's brilliant for the tenants, terrible for the landlords. That's the narrative.
So instead of actually looking into it, some landlords have just gone, oh no, can't, just push me over the edge now. Let's sell up. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. And it will be more hassle. It's more hassle for landlords, for sure. But actually.
Yeah. I'm now just starting to think, what on earth are people going to do? Because it's like being blacklisted, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like the people that are blacklisted and they can't get a car, for example. Like, and it's like, no, we just aren't going to finance you a car.
And the other thing is, at the moment, those people that have got bad credit or whatever can say stuff like, I'll pay 6 months up front. And then the landlord takes a chance on them. They can't even do that.
No.
That's taken away.
There's nothing that a landlord's going to think, yeah, go on then. Yeah, go on, you're going to pay me the whole year. I'll take the chance, put you in.
I think what they'll end up doing is having to move to places like HMOs, on things like license agreements and things like that. Yeah. They're going to have to, aren't they? Otherwise, they're going to have no way to live.
Yeah. But would you even take them on a HMO? Especially if it's like, done for like antisocial behaviour or something.
Well, true.
You're not going to be put in a HMO, are you?
Well, they're going to go to, it'll be very...
It is mad now when you think about it. I'm surprised this hasn't come in earlier to kind of vet tenants, because it is crazy. Like we say, we've moved a lot. And some of those times, especially around here, was landlords wanting to just like move back in. And then there was the one time when he wanted us to pay 6 months and we refused, so he served us notice.
Yeah, because bear in mind,
everyone's believing that on our say so.
Yeah. I was going to say, we've been kicked out like 3 times since we in the last.
Yeah. But few on years. Our say so of yeah. saying, no, we were the good tenants, they were the bad landlords that just kicked us out. And the proof of that is where? Like, how does the person that rented us our last house not be like, why, you've been kicked out 3 times? Oh, no, it's not our fault, though.
Whereas if it went to court, went on our credit, as soon as they ran the report, bang, we now won't be able to rent.
Well, we would, because we actually didn't do anything.
No, because we're just lying about it. We just go.
We all, yeah. But we could be, though, couldn't we? It could be that, oh, no, we actually got kicked out 3 times because we just stopped paying rent on all the properties and no one would know. We could just go, oh, can you believe it? They wanted to come back and they just served a Section 21. Like, no one actually knows why anyone's got kicked out other than what someone's telling you. Actually, when you think about it, that is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. So what do you think of the new Landlord's Rights Bill?
Yeah.
Find out. You find the new Landlord's Rights Bill. You find out who the bad tenants are.
Yeah, I think that is quite exciting that you actually can. Because you do take a risk and you are always thinking when you put a tenant in, oh, have you picked the right person? Are they going to pay? Because when they don't, it is an absolute nightmare, isn't it? Well, now, basically, there's going to be a few years, obviously, because it's not like suddenly they're pinging up all the systems of people that it's not like they can go back and tell you. But now when people start getting kicked out,
I'll tell you who else I think are going to get hit. Bad landlords are going to get hit. And bad tenants are going to get hit. And also, do you know you've got this new register? So all the landlords are going to register, but you can't rent your property out. What about all these landlords that are not putting the taxes through?
Oh, yeah.
And now they've got to register, otherwise it's illegal to rent it out. They're going to get battered.
Yeah, absolutely.
All these sort of tax fraudsters that are just like, you're off the books, just rent out a couple of properties.
So then, when you actually think about it, like I said at the end of last week's show, like, if you're a good landlord, you've kind of got nothing to worry about.
If you're
about.
A good landlord or a good tenant, you've got nothing
and
to worry about.
It's the same with the tenants. So, yeah, if I was a bad tenant that didn't pay, it's not looking good for you because it's going to go on your record.
Yeah.
And if you're a bad landlord... And if you're a bad landlord, you're going to struggle. So actually, I'm quite in favour of it. The only thing that is annoying for the landlord is the hassle of going to court. And it's going to be very interesting to see how that actually plays out, how long it takes people to get to court. But other than that...
What they need to do, there's talk about an ombudsman. I don't exactly know how it's going to work. What they need to do is have a step before court for the easy cases that the ombudsman can just look at, especially the ones that are factual, where there's no, don't need a judge to help decide. It's like they have not paid, they are 3 months behind on their rent. The ombudsman should just go, let's have a look. Oh, yes, they are. Doesn't matter if they are now. I know this isn't the rule, by the way, but it should be.
Yeah, it should be.
It doesn't
be.
Matter if they are now. They're 3 months behind. Bang, you're out. Bang. That,
like, if there's a police reference number for antisocial behaviour, all the ones that aren't up to the judge's discretion, it's just like, you've done this.
It's a mandatory thing.
Then, yeah, that shouldn't go to court.
Why does it have to go to court?
Yeah, if you can prove it, there should just be a board of people that go, yep, that's, you're out. And then the other cases... Now, I really hope they run it like that. I think if they run it like that...
It could be okay.
Yes. What concerns me is waiting for the courts. Mm. I think that's the big one for me. Not even the paperwork, but waiting for it to actually go to court, because knowing how long things take.
But I think it might be short-term pain for long-term gain. Because once tenants realise that once that's happened once and now they can't rent anymore.
Yeah. That's going to be a real shocker, that is.
The other thing that's probably going to go through the roof... is social housing, because we're going to have all these people now that can't rent.
Yeah.
So if you're into if you're making money from social housing, because the government overpay for that, that could be a really good strategy over the next few years.
Yeah.
Buying properties, renting them to the councils, because there will be loads of people.
You can have all these people that now.
But then the council are paying, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. That is going to shoot up, isn't it?
Mm.
Wow.
Interesting times.
So if you're a good landlord and good tenant, it's all good news.
So let us know in the comments, what do you think of the landlord, tenants' rights bill? Do you think it's going to be good for landlords, good for tenants? What do you think of what we're saying? What do you think of these unintended consequences? Let us know your thoughts below. I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
See you next week.